Thank you very much for your invitation. There are a few people who know me already. I think in the service earlier there were two people who were members of young people's groups when I was a leader. So I've been in Carey for over 40 years. Was involved for a long time in youth work in Carey. Recently retired, which has given me a bit more time to be doing things to help the church and some of the weekday activities. We're coming this morning to talk about the subject of acceptance. And in the world around, there seems to be a lot of the opposite, a lot of rejection rather than acceptance. We see it all around. We see it in politics. We see Brexit and Remainers at outside Parliament shouting at each other. We see it in religion with many militants forcing their views or even killing people if they don't agree. We see it nowadays with food. We see militant vegans. We see it in the environment with the protest recently in London. We've talked about social networks. Often this is magnified by social networks, and it seems that with social networks that people can threaten to kill others without it meaning anything. Very strange views. Sadly to say, even in the early church, there were divisions between people. We see that again and again in the teaching of the apostles. We see it in the history of the early church. We see, for example, in 1 Corinthians at the beginning there, that Paul writes to the Corinthians, "My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Another, I follow Christ." That in the early church, there were divisions, there was rejection. Church in Rome, the chapter 14 is all taken up with the issue of food and divisions to do with food, probably to do with Jewish religious practices. We read in Romans 14, verse 3, "The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him." How can it be in a church that there are people who are looking down on or rejecting people because of what they eat? Which brings us on to our verse for today. Romans 5, verse 7, which speaks about accepting one another. "Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God." The first thing we need to say is it's not talking about grudging acceptance. We probably all experienced that. Wales won the Six Nations. I grudgingly accept that. The facts show it happened, but I would have far preferred England to have won. But such things happen. So there's grudging acceptance. But in the original, the word translated accept literally means to take to oneself. Translated in lots of different ways in the New Testament. In the NIV, it's translated as take, to round up, to invite, to eat, to welcome, to accept. It's actually quite a strong word. So it's saying take to one another, just as Christ has taken us to himself. You see some indication of the strength of it. One of those examples is the word eat. And it's only used in one place, for eating, and that's in Acts chapter 27 when it's used three times. And that's talking about Paul and his companions about to be shipwrecked, and they hadn't eaten for several days. And Paul says, you need to eat to survive. So it's not, you know, having biscuits and tea after the service. It's, if you don't eat, you're not going to survive. It's that sort of urgency, that sort of power behind this word, accept. It's to take to oneself. So this morning, I want to look briefly, firstly, at our example of acceptance, and secondly, at our attitude, and thirdly, at God's glory. So the example that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in our verse. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. What does that mean? What does that look like? How did the Lord Jesus Christ accept us? Well, we read about that earlier in the book of Romans. Paul takes many chapters to talk about our sin and acceptance. The key verse in there is Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That tells us vital things about how Christ accepts us. It tells us that it is motivated by his love. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Here he's speaking about the agape love, the self-sacrificing love, the love that took the Lord Jesus Christ from the worship of angels in heaven to become one of us, to be born, to be despised, to be rejected, to be crucified. It's that love that is spoken about. It also talks about grace. Grace is about favour to those who don't deserve it. Surely here is grace. While we were still sinners, while we were still rebels, while we were still opposed to him, while we were still on the side of those who crucified him, Christ died for us. It also speaks about the cost, doesn't it? Christ died for us. The Lord of glory went to a cross. He was suffering there physically, great agony. He was suffering the punishment that we deserve. He was bearing God's anger for our sin and our rebellion. Christ died for us. How has Christ accepted us? If we are believers, it is showing enormous, incredible love. It's showing incredible grace. It's at a great cost. We have an illustration in Luke chapter 15 where Jesus tells that parable of the prodigal son. Maybe you remember the parable. The son wishes his father dead and goes and takes his inheritance and squanders the money and ends up destitute. And he returns and he comes back towards his father. How does he come? Well, he's barefoot. He's penniless. He's dirty. He's in rags. He probably smells of pigs and sweat and coated with dust. And we read in verse 20, but while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The Lord Jesus Christ uses that as a parable, as a picture of how he accepts us if we come in repentance and faith to him. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly uses this picture of the Father running to this disobedient, rebellious son, throwing his arms around this smelly, dirty, dusty boy and kissing him. It's incredible the pictures that the Lord uses to try to give us some understanding of how he accepts us, how he brings us to himself, takes us to himself. Remember this powerful word. And we are to accept one another just as Christ accepted us. Isn't that challenging? It's an amazing truth of God's love and grace and acceptance, but it's a real challenge to us as well. So our attitude, we are to accept, to take to ourselves one another. We see the theme worked out in these opening verses in Romans 15, in verse 5, just before our reading. Paul prays, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus." Here he's praying for that attitude of acceptance, for that unity amongst God's people. Again and again, we see in God's word how vitally important God sees unity among his people. There's no room for pride in the church or in God's people. None of us can say that we are better. None of us can say that we are saved by our good works or our good looks, by our brains or our money. No, we're all saved by God's grace, and we're all brought into the same family. Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, Greeks and Scythians and men and women and young and old are all brought into the same family. We know the distress it causes when families are divided. I had two aunts that didn't speak to each other from their 20s or 30s onwards, and they both lived to about 90, that they spent decades ignoring each other, and how much heartache that caused in the family. Well, even more, God feels heartache when we reject each other, when we don't welcome each other, when we don't accept each other in Christ, when we don't show love and grace and mercy to each other. There's a picture of this in Paul's letter to Philemon. Philemon is all about a runaway slave called Onesimus. And Onesimus probably had been living in a place called Colossae in modern-day Turkey and had been a slave of this Christian called Philemon. And Onesimus had run away, and he'd probably stolen from Philemon, and he'd run away to the smoke to Rome, and he thought that he was far away, and there he became a Christian. He met the Apostle Paul. He became a Christian, and Paul is sending him back to Philemon as a new believer. And Paul writes in verse 17, "So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me." The word welcome there is that word again, to take to yourself word. And Paul is saying, and it's a picture of the welcome that we receive. Paul is saying, here is this runaway thief and slave who by Roman law deserves death. I urge you to take him to yourself as you would take me, the Apostle Paul, one of the great teachers of the church. And it sounds from the letter that Philemon might have been converted under Paul's ministry. He's saying, look on him as if he was a great apostle. He's a slave, he's a runaway, that's being converted. And that is what we are urged. We are urged to look upon each other, not as a runaway slave, not as a thief, but as valued and precious in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, God's glory. Our verse ends in order to bring praise to God. Literally, in order to bring glory to God. Again, that's a theme in the verses in front of us. In chapter 15, verse 6, Paul ends his prayer so that with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing. We redeemed sinners can glorify God. We can bring glory to the one who is worshipped by thousands upon thousands of angels. That's grace, isn't it? That's mercy, that's love. It's what Paul teaches us here. How do we glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the important element there is unity amongst God's people. In verse 6, Paul talks about with one heart and one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God hates it when we're divided. He hates it when we look down on each other, when one redeemed rebel looks down on another redeemed rebel. That's abhorrent to God. But he loves it when we are united in praise and worship to him. It's amazing. We can bring glory to God. We bring glory to God when we're Christ-like. We bring glory to God when we walk in step with the Spirit. We bring glory to God when we imitate the Lord Jesus Christ in his humility and his grace and his love and his care for people. We bring glory to God when our heart is being readied for heaven, and in heaven there is this innumerable hosts of believers from every race and language and tongue and people worshipping God. So if we reject somebody because they're a different race or a different background or a different wealth group or speak slightly differently, in a sense, we're denying God's purpose of bringing us as a united people in heaven. So, to conclude, the verse in front of us that has been given to us is to accept, to take to one another. Then, just as Christ accepted you, has taken us to himself in order to bring praise to God. Have you been accepted by Christ? If you have, do you recognize that as the greatest possible privilege that you could know? That there is nothing greater that you could know than to be accepted, to be taken into the very closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for that, and give thanks for other believers who have been accepted, who have been brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you haven't, realize what you're missing out on. If you haven't, then you are still under God's anger. You are still displeasing to God. You don't have these great privileges that we've been talking about. That you are in the most dangerous place imaginable. And you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simple, as we've said, that he doesn't demand anything of us apart from repentance and faith. Repentance is simply a change of mind, a change of direction from going your way, self-centered, to turning and declaring that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and you're going to follow him. And faith simply means trusting that the Lord Jesus Christ has borne the punishment that you deserve and that you are forgiven in him. It's as simple as a prayer. It's simple as reaching out to the Lord Jesus Christ's hand and clutching it and saying, save me. But then, is there anyone you don't accept? Maybe they're characters that you don't get on with easily. Maybe they're Christians that you tend to avoid because of things that have been said or done in the past. Well, the first thing to do is to pray. To pray that the Lord would give you grace to accept. We have a command here to accept one another, but we need grace and help to do it. It's hard, isn't it? You know, if somebody's let you down, it's so hard to forgive them and to hug them. We need the Lord's grace and help, and we need to pray for that help. But then it is a command. We need to do it, to change our minds. We need to change our attitudes. It's a difficult thing to do, but as the Lord provides grace, he will provide the help to do what he commands. So, our verse for today is to accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God for his glory. Amen.